Living in a word-centric way. That's coming up today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe.
Whatever you do it all in the name of Jesus, for the purposes of God, for the glory of God. You have a purpose. You're centered. You know what you're living for. You're living for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So whatever you do in life, you do it as though you were doing it for God.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Mark is the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and president of Moody Bible Institute. Well, school is back in full swing, and we're happy to be meeting virtually and on campus here at Moody. If you weren't able to attend this semester, we'd like to encourage you to check out Moody for next term. We offer a variety of coursework and degrees, both on campus and online. So to learn what's available, visit boldstepsradio.org and then click on the link on the left-hand sidebar where it reads, Learn More About Moody Bible Institute. Now today, we're wrapping up our message called This is the New Me, and we're going to be discovering that our new identities must be grounded in the Word. This study comes from the book of Colossians, and to get started, here's Pastor Mark Jobe.
I don't want you to drag baggage with you. I want you to deal with things. I want you to forgive as Christ has forgiven you. I don't want you to have resentment or bitterness or grudges or list of people that you are holding in debtor's prison. I want you to release and to forgive. I want you to not remember. It doesn't mean that what they did wasn't bad. It doesn't mean that you minimize it. It doesn't mean that you excuse it. It simply means that I will not be caught or live with resentment, anger, bitterness in my life. It doesn't mean you have to be best friends, but it simply means I'm not going to live with that anger, resentment, and bitterness in my life. I'm going to be free to love Jesus and to love others and not poison my heart with bitterness in my soul. And then in verse 14, and it says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. All these virtues that we've talked about, he says, put on love. Put on the attitude of love. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding about love, because oftentimes people view love as an emotion. And we use the word love very generically. You say, oh, I love Giordano's pizza. And then you say, well, I love my husband. Well, I love God. Oh, I'm glad that you love pizza and God and your husband all in the same package. We've watered down the meaning of love. And we've taken on a Hollywood definition of love. Love at first sight. People say, oh, I saw her and I fell in love with her. Really? You fell in love with her and lust with her? I'm trying to figure out which one. Because love is not an emotion. You know, if you view it as emotion, then you view yourself as a victim of love. And if you are a victim of love, then you can't choose who you love or how you love. And I have people tell me this. A couple will come into me and say, we're separating or getting a divorce. I say, why? Well, we're just not in love with each other anymore. Almost like, oh, you know, too bad. We'd like to be, but we just, love has left us. Hold on a second. There's no like little fat angel with Cupid arrows shooting you and then taking arrows out. Love is not an emotion. Love is a choice. For God so loved the world. Not for God so felt goosebumps over you when you were sinning and in your mess. And he said, oh, I just love them. No, no, no. He chose to love you in your mess and in your sinfulness. He chose to love you when you were unlovable. It was a choice that God made. Love is a choice that we make. And if your love is just an emotion, then you are one basket case when it comes to relationships, because you will feel love sometimes and other times not feel love at all. if you treated the kids the way you feel about them in the day, you'd be in trouble. You walk in the room at night, they're laying there, you say, oh, they're sleeping like an angel. I just love my little kid. I want to pinch his cheeks and hold him. And then they wake up in the morning. And you want to send them to military school or do worse, you know. Love is not an emotion. Love is a choice. You say, I'm going to love this person whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to act in love towards this person. Love is bigger than emotion that comes and go, bigger than how I feel that day because I ate good pizza or bad pizza. My love is stronger than that. It's not based on an emotion. It's based on choice and commitment. And so he says, and above all these things, put on the virtue of love, that choice to value people around me, which binds them all together in perfect unity, because Scripture says they will know that you are my disciples by your love. What does that mean? That means that we value people. That means that this church should be known by its appreciation and value of people. Because you know what? We could have a packed out house. We could have a great worship. We could have awesome preaching. We could have the best programs in Chicago. But if we have no love, we are nothing. Nothing. We're a clanging cymbal. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us. What does love mean? Love means that we clothe ourselves with love, and whoever is in this building, whoever walks through these doors, whoever sits in this place, we love them until Jesus is able to change them. Sometimes our love is very conditional. Someone walks through these doors. I've had this happen before. You know, we attract people from all walks of life, and not everybody that comes here grew up in a church or is going to church. Sometimes someone just invited them because they knew they needed God. I had a conversation a couple years ago about a woman that walked in the church, and she was dressed a little skimpily. And some well-meaning lady came up to me and said, Pastor, are you going to let a woman like this walk into the house of God like that? Someone needs to talk to her. That's an insult. And I happened to know the lady that was just coming. I said, yeah, but what you don't know about her is that the fact that she's in this church at all is a miracle. She dressed like a streetwalker because she is a streetwalker. And we're not going to just try to clothe her better. We're going to have her come to Jesus so she sees herself as a different woman and knows who God is. And when God gets a hold of her, she's going to start dressing differently because she's going to know, I don't have to attract the attention of men by how less clothes I wear, because my Father in heaven is my heavenly Father and he gives me dignity and value. And I'm going to talk different, dress different, walk different, behave different. But the first thing they need to do is know Jesus. It's our identity that changes our behavior. We don't change the outside before we change the inside. We change the inside, and then the outside starts changing. That's the power of love. Clothe yourself with love, which covers. 1 Peter chapter 4 tells us that it covers a multitude of sins. In other words, when there's love, it covers a lot of stuff. It binds them all together in perfect unity, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. What the Apostle Paul is acknowledging is that in the body of Christ, there will be tension and disagreements and arguments. People will aggravate you, frustrate you, get under your skin. That's part of what it means to be in a family, a people of God. But he says, work towards peace. In other words, when there are disagreements like that, let the peace of Christ, that word rule in the Greek is actually means arbitrate or be the umpire that decides what you do. If you have no peace of Christ about it, then you probably need to do something about it. Let the peace of Christ be the arbitrator in your heart, since you are members of one body and you are called to peace, so be thankful. There will be disagreements in the body of Christ. And I've told you this before. If you're just a spectator here, you won't argue with anybody or no one's going to aggravate you because you're just an audience. Audiences don't have relationship, so they don't have disagreements. If you haven't argued with someone, if no one's gotten under your skin, if you haven't had some disagreement, it's because you don't know people well enough in this church. Because you know what? Families have disagreements. If I have a young couple that comes to me and says, Pastor, we want to get married, and they're looking all googly-eyed at one another, like, hey, we want to get married. He's my, and I say, have you argued? Oh, no, we don't argue. I want to say, go get into a good argument, then come talk to me. Because you're in the infatuation stage now. You need to have some disagreement. Talk it through. Someone's not being honest. Doesn't mean you get in a fist fight, but it means that there's a disagreement that happens. In the body of Christ, in a family, it happens. It's not if it's going to happen, it's when it happens. And when it happens, you need to work through it in a godly way. Not the way you used to work through it. Which means I don't work through it. I just mad, gossip, and resentful at that person. So if you walk in this church and you deliberately sit on the right side of the auditorium because there is someone that you don't like that sits on the left side of the auditorium and you just don't want to see them, that may have worked in the world, but in Jesus, you talk to that person and you get things right. Have no relational baggage that you're unwilling to deal with. And that's what he says, that the peace of Christ rule in your hearts because you are members of one body and you're called to peace and be thankful.
You're listening to Bold Steps with me, Mark Jode. We'll continue the second part of our message in just a moment. Well, if nothing else, these past few months have probably shown at least a few of us that we have some holes in the roof when it comes to our relationships. But before you dismiss it as just, well, it's just the way it is during this time, you need to ask yourself, is it really possible to get the home life that you want and that God really wants for you? That's the question that Gary Chapman answers in his book, The DIY Guide to Building a Family That Lasts, 12 Tools for Improving Your Home Life. I'd love to send you a copy to your home when you give a gift of any amount. And Wayne, tell us how they can give that gift.
I'd be happy to, Mark, to request a copy of the DIY Guide to Building a Family That Lasts. Just go to our website. You'll find us online at boldstepsradio.org or ask for a copy when you call us at 844-615-7363. Again, 844-615-7363. Mark, thank you. Now let's get back to your message and learn more about the characteristics of the new you. We're in Colossians chapter 3, and again, here's Mark Jode.
Number 3, and lastly, the new you is saturated with the word-centered way of thinking. Listen to what it says in verse 16. Let the word of Christ, it said, let the peace of Christ, let the love of Christ, and now it's let the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ, what's the word of Christ? The word of God, scripture, the inspired, infallible, inerrant scripture given to us that's able to pierce our soul and change our lives. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does that mean to dwell in us richly? It doesn't say just hear the word. It says let the word dwell in you. The word dwell means to live in you. Do you know there's a difference between hearing the word and letting the word dwell in us? If I hear the word, it can go in one ear and out the other ear. But when the word dwells in me, it means that I'm meditating on it. I'm thinking about it. It lives inside of me. It shapes me. It molds me. It influences my life and my behavior because I'm studying the Word. I'm memorizing the Word. I'm meditating the Word. I'm allowing my old way of being to be transformed and shaped by the new way of being. The Word of God should supersede the way you were raised. The Word of God trumps your culture. The Word of God should erase or improve or transform whatever family background you were raised in. I run into people that kind of act like because their culture does it a certain way, that it seems like, oh, it's okay, they don't have to change. I was talking to someone not too long ago, and they were like, yeah, you know, I yell at my husband, I yell at my kids, I'm, you know, I got a temper, and they tried to make it sound because of their culture, like, yeah, my family, we were all that way, it's okay. No, it's not okay. Well, yeah, Pastor, it's because, you know, I'm Puerto Rican Irish, you know, and it's, you know, it's all mixed in, and that's just the way. No, 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 I don't care what you are. Whatever your background is now in Christ, you're a Puerto Rican Irish in Christ. Christ supersedes background. He trumps over culture. He makes sure that whatever you were before now becomes transformed by who you are in the Word of God. And it's the Word of God. Some of us aren't changing because the Word is not dwelling in us. When the Word starts dwelling in us and you start asking yourself, how am I living not according to my culture, how I was raised, what my background is, or how my family is, but I have to ask myself, what does God want of me? What does the Word say about it? What is Jesus' expectation of me? It's the Word of God that starts changing us from the inside out. And so he says, let the Word of Christ dwell richly, not shallowly, not a little bit, not sprinkled in your life. Let it dwell richly in you as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. So as you are saturated with the Word, then suddenly the Word is going to start coming out of you, and you're going to be sharing the Word, talking the Word, living the Word, sharing the Word with your children. The Word will come out in how you marry and how you parent and how you live and how you work. It's going to begin to influence your culture. When you're cut, you're going to cut bibbling. It's going to come out of your system. The Word of God is going to come out of your system because you're so full and saturated from the Word of God. And as you are saturated with the Word of God, you will also become a worshiper. It says, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you see, you become a worshiper. Not only do you become an admonisher of the Word, if you are growing in Christ, the new you starts to talk about the Word, then suddenly you become a worshiper as well of the Word. Men, especially, listen to me. If you are a follower of Jesus, you also need to be a worshiper of Christ. And worshipers sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I was talking to a brother not too long ago. He was telling me he had never been to church before. And he was telling me, you know, the only place where you sing really is in church. He said, I never sang before. He said, I came to church, sat down, and he said, I felt like the only place I did it before, he told me, was at a karaoke bar. And so now I'm singing. And he invited his friends. He said, come, you could see me sing. The thing about singing is that it's not about singing itself. It's about the fact that now you become a worshiper of God through song. So now you're saturated with the Word. And now also, as worship goes on, you start praising God and lifting up His name through the act of worship. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not a singer. That's okay. Some of you are croakers. I mean, you don't really sing, you just kind of croak out a melody, and you just, you know, the Bible says make a joyful noise. And some of us sound more like noisemakers than singers when we sing, but that's okay. I happen to think that as you sing, however you are able to sing, that if once it goes through the stratosphere and atmosphere and reaches the ears of God, if it's done with a heart that loves Jesus, by the time it reaches the ears of God, He views it as a beautiful melody. We're stuck down here with your lack of harmony, but God hears it as a beautiful melody. So the new you is into the Word. The new you is into worship. And lastly, the new you is full of hearts of gratitude. The new you has a positive attitude. Listen, with songs, with gratitude in your hearts towards God, you are to put on the new you. The new you is not a negative person. The new you is a positive person. How you doing today? Oh, I got to go to work. Can't wait till Friday. No, that's the old you. That's not the new you. The new you says, thank God the day's shining. I have a job. Other people don't. That's the new you. Some people thrive on complaining and negativity. That's an attitude of the old lifestyle, not an attitude of the new lifestyle. And then he closes with this verse, which is verse 17. And whatever you do, washing dishes, taking a shower, driving in traffic, going to work in the morning, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. What's it talking about? The new you. Now you have a purpose. Your purpose is to live for God. You don't live for yourself anymore. Whether you are washing dishes, you do it in Jesus' name. Going to work, ultimately, you do it in Jesus' name. Raising your kids in Jesus' name. Marriage in Jesus' name. Whatever you do it all in the name of Jesus for the purposes of God, for the glory of God. You have a purpose. You're centered. You know what you're living for. You're living for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So whatever you do in life, you do it as though you were doing it for God. It changes the way you live. It means that whatever you do in life is an act of worship unto God. Do you realize that it's not just Sunday morning worship that's worship? If you do it for God, whatever you do becomes worship. That's the new you.
Well, you've been listening to Mark Job with today's message on Bold Steps. To listen to any of Mark's other archived messages, just visit us online at boldstepsradio.org. Well, Mark, given what we've just heard, this might be a great time to sit down and evaluate our lives. Maybe ask ourselves, what can we adjust? How can we apply the characteristics you just talked about?
You know, Wayne, one of the greatest challenges, I think, of all of our lives is to embrace what it means to genuinely love people. And boy, that's been a challenge for me since the beginning. I've prayed, God, I want to love people. My father was just very, very passionate about that. And at his funeral, I realized I want to love people like he loved people. So I started praying years ago, Father, baptize me with the fresh love for people. Wayne, some of our listeners, maybe God has convicted you through this message your genuine concern for others. In fact, Jesus told us that really the mark of a true believer, the mark, the stamp is not how big your Bible is, not if you wear a chain with the cross on it, but really the mark is loving one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. So I want to challenge you to ask yourself, God, am I loving people genuinely the way you've called me to?
All right, thank you for that challenge, Mark. But I have one more as we leave today, one more challenge for our listeners. Consider partnering with us this year by giving a monthly gift to support this ministry. You'll not only be keeping this program on your local station, but you'll also be helping us take the message of the good news of Jesus Christ to as many people across the country as possible. So you can sign up online at boldstepsradio.org. Or ask to become a Bold partner when you call us. You can reach one of our friendly team members on the phone at 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. Plus, as an added bonus, when you give a monthly gift of $30 or more, you'll also receive a 50% discount on the entire Moody Publishers catalog, including all of our Bible studies, Christian living accessories, DVDs, children's books, and much more. And by the way, if now is not the right time to partner with us, but you'd like to send a one-time gift in the mail, you can address your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And when you give a gift to support this ministry, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of the book by Gary Chapman that Mark talked about earlier called The DIY Guide to Building a Family That Lasts. Get your copy today and give your relationships a renovation they need and deserve. I'm Wayne Shepherd. I'm inviting you to join us again tomorrow. We'll be exploring the marriage relationship and what it looks like from God's perspective. You won't want to miss it. It's coming up Wednesday on Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.